One, go. All right, what is up, guys? Welcome back to Late Night Shots Podcast, episode 75. You know, again, we went over this last episode, not much going on. You know, we could talk about the Olympics, last chance qualifier, but we're going to get to that when brackets and everything are announced and all that stuff. I don't know if it's out already, but some people are still qualifying for their countries and stuff is going on. So, you know, you may as well take an extremely early look at the NCAA season for next year. So this year is kind of weird. We have Olympic weight classes for the trials. Now we have guys back for the world team trials at non-Olympic weights. So the winner of the U.S. Open will be sent to Worlds, I think it is, or something like that. So 61 kilos, yes. Could be Soriano, you know, Sean Garrett, Joe Colon, possibly Dayton Fix or Vito. Like, anyway, he didn't get the chance at 57 because they won't have the chance because Gilman already has a spot secured, you know. 70 kilos, obviously, you know, the guys you have to look at, James Green, Alec Pantaleo, Ryan Deacon, you know, Jason Nolf is a big one, Evan Wick, right? Those are some big guys. Yeah. You know, you look at 79, Dake's not there. You know, I think my biggest bet is going to be on Imar at 79.
Yeah.
I think he wants to get that world spot, and I think he's very capable of winning at 79. You know,
so also, maybe a little bit undersized. Is anyone else particularly notable at 79?
I don't think so. I think everybody good is focusing on the Olympics, right? You know, maybe, yeah, but true. You also have to realize Imar's proven himself to be on the level of Burroughs, Dave, yes. And all those guys. You know, maybe slightly below, but he's still a world-level competitor, no matter which way you put it, you know? I think bumping up 5 kilos, was that 11, 12 pounds, something like that? No, may have a little bit of an impact. I'm not too sure about that, but we don't know until we see. You know, he had to skip the trials for that. So if Alex Deringer can come back, that's a huge one right there.
Yes.
You know, who's a guy at 74 who may bump up, right? I think Evan Wick, Burroughs. Possibly. Yeah, no, I don't know about Burroughs, right? Because it just seems like he wants to go out on a win.
Yeah, and 79 kilos would probably be his best bet to do so.
I think if he might just wrestle at the U.S. Open and retire there. That's like, it's so much of a wild card that, like, I'm genuinely don't know. Because I think a lot of people were shocked that he didn't lay out his shoes on the center of the mat after losing to Dake. You know, we already talked about why that may have not happened. No, but it also comes to say is, like, can he cut to 70? Probably not. He's been established at 74.
Definitely not.
You know, maybe if he, you know, he probably could. He would just be dead at 70. But, you know, the fact that James Green cut to 65 and he looks bigger than Jordan Burroughs scares me.
I don't know about bigger than Jordan Burroughs.
I don't know. He looks just as big.
They're similar builds.
No, you don't. No, James Green towered over everybody at 65. You could tell he was visibly sucked. Nashawn Garrett is a guy. 61 is his best bet. Do I think he makes it? Possibly. I think it may just be Soriano's time. Right. I think Nashawn Garrett, you know, he had his time. He won a national title. He made a world team. This may just be the end for him, you know. A guy not counting out his veto, moving up, try to get that spot at Worlds, you know. He just beat Dayton Fix. No, I think everybody at 57 may just move up. I think these Olympic weights might be watered for that sole fact. Right. And maybe on a 92, who's the guy we're looking at? Jaden Cox.
Nate Jackson plans to wrestle 92.
Jaden Cox.
You think he moves back down?
He has to. Why would he not? That's been his weight class. He's it's gone now for the most part, you know. I think if he moves down,
you think he might he's probably chasing the match with Snyder.
If he's not going to get that match with Snyder at the U.S. Open. Snyder's not wrestling at the U.S. Open. He already has a spot.
Oh, yeah, because he already got the spot for the...
Yeah, that's why it's such a weird year, you know. And this is going to tell how good is Colin Moore at a weight class where he's not undersized. You know, I'm not going to count that out. He's looked incredible. You know, obviously I handled by Snyder, the guy who's wrestled with for the past 4 years at Ohio State when he was there before Snyder left. Right?
Yes.
He scored 2 takedowns on Jaden Cox in the match, which may not seem like a lot, but that's more than 99% of people will ever be able to say.
Yes.
I think if Moore can get his head on straight, he knows that this is the opportunity to prove himself. Because he was there because of a fluke, if you even want to call it that, in quotes. Right? If he can get this done against Jaden Cox, that's all. You know, and that will solve so many things. Do I think it's going to happen? Probably not. You know, will I count him out? No. You know, Mike Machiavelli has beaten him every time they've wrestled. Colin Moore did beat him. He teched him in the semifinals. No, like, it's like that, right? You know, it's the top three who were at that weight class without Jaden Cox. You kind of expected to be. You kind of expected Moore to cruise his way to Snyder. Expected Snyder to somewhat take it to him. 5-1, the second match isn't bad. You know, it shows that Moore made adjustments and he held Snyder off a little bit, which is not exactly the easiest thing to do. You know, Snyder's a guy who's wrestled against bigger opponents all throughout college, right? Being undersized is definitely not going to help. You know, Gadsden lost to Ty Walls in the first round and he wrestled back to third, you know? And he pinned Machiavelli with, of course, the move he coined as the Gadsden. The outside, under-over, Polish kind of, right?
Yeah, I think it's a Polish.
We're calling it the Gadsden, you know?
Yeah, he does it a bit different from, like, a full-blown
Polish.
Yeah, I
mean, yeah, he does it pretty well. Like, people were talking about his
JV. I can't bloody figure it out. Every single time I try it, I get inside tripped.
Get inside tripped from there? Yeah, they have position on it. But, you know, even that being said, right, now we look at 125, you know, if they input like a 110 weight class, I think that would be kind of cool for non-Olympic years.
For college?
Huh?
Oh, 125, like, oh.
110 kilos, yeah, 110 kilos.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe non-Olympic year. I think that would be kind of cool. I think a guy like Gable may make the cut. How much 110 kilos? 220, 245, possibly. You know, if Gable was lean, he'd be able to make it. I doubt he'd do it. I think the top division right now then would be Gable, Nelson, Gwizdowski, obviously, Dom Bradley, you know, Tanner Hall, Matt Stenzel, bigger guys like that, right? Then down below, you could have Gable if he decides to make the cut. Mason Paris. Greg Kirkfleet's a huge one, right? Obviously, and Mason Paris.
I think a 1 or 10 kilo weight class kind of would undermine 97, and it would kind of I don't know. It'd be weird for like heavyweight, because like
possibly I'm not sure how to put it. You know, that was just a thought I had.
Yeah. I was just thinking it's kind of weird to have like, you know, because normally there's like, you know, Olympic weight, non-Olympic weight, Olympic, but then like you go just 97 to heavy.
Yeah, no, that's the only thing I don't like, because a guy like Derek White cut massive amounts of weight to make 97.
I was just thinking about that the other day. I had no idea that Colin Moore and Derek White ever wrestled. Like, why didn't Derek just wrestle 125?
He was doing good, too. He held Dom Bradley to criteria, and he lost to Adam Kuhn by 2 points.
Yeah, he's not that small for heavyweight.
Yeah, the thing is, you know, Gable.
Gable.
You know, like, Snyder's beatable. We've seen it.
Yeah.
I mean, Gable's beatable, too, but is he beatable by anyone in the U.S.? Not anymore. You know, I wouldn't give any 97 kilo. That's just personally me. I wouldn't give any 97 kilo wrestler in the world the edge over Gable right now. That's just me. You know, you can't say anything until you see them wrestle. I think Gable beats Saji Live by a couple points too. But, you know, that's just me. I think Saji, you know, I'll leave that for another day. That's something we should talk about post-Olympics. But,
yeah.
No, even that being said, right, Taha and Gino are two guys – they're just the typical reigning Olympic champs, what they look like, right? Gable may be on another level in the U.S., but he's barely scratched the surface of that yet.
Yeah, I don't think I've seen anything that really shows me that he beats Taha, because Taha is personally my pick.
Yeah, I think Gino's the safe option right now just because he's beat Taha every time. But it all depends. If Gino has to wrestle Gable in the semis, you know, a little fatigued. But Gino's the only international heavyweight with gas tank. It's like you can post highlights of him. People aren't going to say, I was like, oh, Gable mops the floor with him, because Gino looks like a typical D1 All-American. That's all he looks like.
Yeah.
But, you know, as we're talking about, there's something these guys have figured about, turning people and taking people down so smooth and easily that we haven't figured out. And that's what they do so well, right? And Gable doesn't match up too well against offense. His – yeah. It's like – You know, like, I guarantee you, if Taha and Gable go out and Russell Taha comes out firing, catches a leg lace and texts him. Like, that wouldn't be surprising to me. You know, I think everybody in the U.S. would be freaking out about it. But, you know, is this something I didn't expect? No, right? And Gable can go win gold. Maybe we were doubting him this entire time. Personally, I wasn't doubting him. I just think it's too early to make that call that anybody wins gold.
Yeah. You know?
I think the closest thing we have to a lock is David Taylor. I think pretty sure everybody's going to agree with that.
Yeah.
You know, I think Kyle Dacus, you know, I think is about 40-50% chance he wins it. I think there's other guys in the weight class that can.
I think Kyle Dake presents more problems for Chimizo and Sidikov than Burrows does.
Yeah. No, 100%.
Especially Sidikov. Right?
You know, it all depends on how you wrestle on the big stage. And if Dake doesn't win, that's going to hurt Burrows' legacy a lot.
Yes. Like
if Dake wins, you know, it goes like symbolism-wise, like Burrows is passing on the torch. Nobody's going to bat an eye on that. Yeah. Right? Like, I think Chimizo's a guy I'm pulling before. He's been one of my favorite wrestlers for a while. I've liked his style. I think his defense is great. You know, obviously so is Diggs. I think Chimizo's just a little bit more entertaining to watch.
Yeah, Chimizo's defense is more about
scoring.
Kyle's defense is just about being kind of just impossible to score.
I was never a big fan of Jordan. No, not Jordan Burrows versus Kyle Dake, the rivalry. Like, I was never a big fan of watching them just because it was like the same thing. No, that just seems bad. Not me saying it. Like, I don't know. Like, it just wasn't for me to watch.
They're very samey matches.
Yeah, that's what.
Obviously, they make adjustments match to match, but it came into the same problem of Kyle Dake needs to shut him out, and up until this year's Olympic trials, he never really managed to do that.
Yeah, 100%. You know what? We should just shift this episode to the world team.
Yeah.
So, actually, yeah, as you might know, we had a typical episode planned for Penn State versus Iowa 2022. You know, I think we'll just move that to tomorrow. I don't think guys are going to be too mad about it. It's going to be a while before it happens, right? You know, I think personally one of my favorite matches is Jordan Burrows versus Eid Valencia. I think that has to go down as a top match.
Yeah.
Now, granted, I think if he moved to 86, he'd win that match. But that's just me.
Well, wait, they had to make 185?
It was 79 kilos.
Zahid and...
Oh, Zahid is the guy, 79 kilos, that I want to mention, right?
I don't think can he make 79 anymore? Did he wrestle Jordan at 79?
I don't know.
I was like 180.
I genuinely don't know. You know, I think it was 175 or something like that, but I'm pretty sure it was 79 kilos. Right. Now, even that being said, like, who knows, right? I think another matchup that I'm dying to see that may just be one of the craziest matchups if it goes the way I think it will. Sean Garrett versus RBY at 61.
That's going to be a banger.
That may just be the highest scoring match ever, you know? Or it could be a blow up RBY. You know, talent wise, I would say RBY has the edge. Experience wise, Sean Garrett's a returning world team member at that weight class, you know? You know, obviously, he had to forfeit the spot to Joe Colon because of injuries, but. You know, Nishan Garrett's the wrong person to count out. You know, I think he went 65, you know, just because it was a healthier weight for him. You know, you got to take – I don't think he was going to perform too well at 57 just because the cut was too much, right? See if he gets matched up against Dayton Fix, Thomas Gilman. It's just not going to be a fun day for him. And then that's really what it is, so.
I don't think I don't think Zahid – because I thought Zahid moved up just because he couldn't make that 170-pound, like, rep weight range anymore.
I genuinely don't know. You know, it could be because of that, but like, you see a lot of guys forcing themselves down to weights they shouldn't be at. Seth Gross,
Nick Soriano. He's got an excellent frame for 86 kilos. He's built pretty much.
He does. I think he moved up to 92 also be very well. I just don't think it's a good option as of now.
Yeah, he's not that bulky.
You know, especially after he just lost to Bo Nickel. You know, no, that's kind of bad to say because it was a 7-point match. It was a 7-point match, but. I think
Nickel very clearly like had a plan for that match.
Yeah, no, 100%. You know, obviously these are two guys who wrestled before. Zahid came on top most of the times. I just think Zahid matches up a lot better with David Taylor. You know, I'll stand on the number two guy in the weight class being Gabe Dean. No, that's just me. After Dean beat Nickel, so.
I mean, okay, but nowadays we just don't know that for sure.
No, 100%. You know, I think he's wrestled Taylor better than anybody, and he beat Nickel, right?
Is Dean done?
Yeah, he's done. He came one last run, you know. I've been stressing this a lot, too. I think He came back. He righted all his wrongs. He beat Bo Nickel, avenged his last collegiate loss, and you know, now he can finally live in peace. You know he can give it a shot.
Yeah, that's true.
What's a big match? 70 kilos. Ryan Deacon versus James Green.
Is Ryan Deacon wrestling 70 kilos again?
I assume so. Because the Olympic weights only really matter for the Olympic team trials. That's what people don't realize. Yeah,
because you think about, you know, these guys are, Deacon, you know, was they're in small. College. They're getting bigger pretty much every single
Deacon
year.
Deacon was small at 70. At 74. At 70 kilos, you have to remember, he beat James Green.
Yes, I know that.
You know, granted, Green also did pull some leg lace magic in Final X, but, you know, he does it to a lot of guys. He was in a 3-3. Anthony Etchemendia. Where would he play?
70?
I mean, yeah, he in the one. He
65.
Had
I think he's a true 65er.
He made a massive cut to 141. I don't think has his eyes set on the team right now. I think he just has his eyes set out. He can get a world team spot. Freestyle's his thing.
Yeah, I think he might want to finish out his college career. I mean,
people forget he was
in
that
match.
I mean,
he's hurt right now, isn't he?
Yeah. I don't know. Like, you don't know how fast. I don't know how fast guys are going to recover. That's information they most likely don't reach out, right? But he was in the match with James Green. That's not debatable. You know, I hate to say it, I think James Green's time may be up soon. No, he's been cutting it close in a lot of his matches, you know. Only time will tell whether that was because he was at 65 kilos and not at 70. Or, you know, guys are catching up to him. You know, he's never been – he's a five-time world team member, I think, but he's never been that established on the international stage.
Yeah.
That's something people have to realize. You know, could Yanni or Zane move up to 70? Try to take a spot?
I don't think Yanni would, just because – he's the perfect size for 65. Like,
you don't have to gain the weight. You could just not cut and wrestle being undersized 70. Thinking,
yeah, I think, I don't know.
Like, that's what I'm saying.
If you take for Zane, I mean,
you know what I'll say is like, if
yeah. I would see Zane more likely moving up to 70 than Yanni.
I think Nick Lee, if he wrestles the way he did, he may just have a shot at 70. And he's already thinking about that bump to 149.
Yeah.
What is 70 kilos, like 152, 153?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, because I know 65 is 143, so 143, 65, 70, 5 kilos. 154, right? Nothing that crazy.
Yeah.
You know, he wrestles a little bit undersized. Russell is a natural one. 54, not cutting weight. I could very well see him beating them. You know, Alec Intaglio, guy who didn't qualify trials. Ryan Deacon, guy who didn't qualify trials. Could Chance Marcel or Chenzo make – I don't know about Marstar. I think Chenzo could make 70, though.
No, I don't think Chenzo.
You know, I don't know if he will. You know, I don't think he's a guy. I think he's a guy, you know, you look at him, two-time national champ, technically four-time finalist, let's say. Let's call the last one a wild card. Is he on that level yet of guy that he, of what he should be? You know, he was more of a folk-style college wrestler. You know, I don't want to say he got lucky, but he peaked at the right times, and Penn State does. You know, he didn't do much at the trials. You know, he held Chance Marshall at the criteria. That's cool and all, but yeah. Like, I don't know what to think about that. So, yeah. No, you can go.
I don't know. I just don't think Chenzo's just in this weird situation, like the same situation as kind of like Nolf, where they're so green in freestyle, or like comparatively green. Because I know that Nolf wrestled in like junior world team trials, and he would eventually, you know, he lost to Mark Hall. But
yeah, I mean, Mark Hall's a guy who's surprisingly good at freestyle. I don't know.
He's really fucking good at freestyle, which is why it was so surprising that he didn't even make it to Olympic team.
I mean,
trials.
Not like, really. Nate Jackson, Gabe Dean. I don't think that was surprising. Drew Foster too. Like, Drew Foster is probably one of the most slept on guys out on this in this field.
He's the most slept on national champion ever.
Mike Machiavello. You know, there's always one year that's forgotten national champion. Darian Cruz.
Yep.
Darian Cruz. But I think Drew Foster is one who's continually gotten better.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't want to say Darian Cruz fell off, but he's not what he was in that national finals or semifinals against Gilman.
That's the most polite way to ever say somebody fell.
I mean, Machiavello, I genuinely think he was the best guy in the weight class that year. I think because he beat Colin Moore the first time that year, I think he should have been one seed. You know, Moore got the one seed, wins the Big Ten. That most time will lock you up as a one seed unless you're defending national champ.
Yes.
You know, Kyle Kano came along, right? I think Moore is more than made up for this. Right now, you know, the people are always going to hold that against him. And I don't agree with that. Right? Same thing with Gadsden getting lucky against Snyder. Yeah, that may be, but I'm fine getting lucky once in the national finals. Like,
yeah.
Like, people don't know the story behind, like, the dude's dad died from cancer, like, a year before.
Yeah.
Right? And then he did that for him, right? And they were like, I'm Gadsden's quest is complete. You know, the whole ice cream story kind of made up, just took over everything. I mean, I don't know how to feel about that, but, you know, as a senior going out with your title.
Is that Kyvenbill thing going to be, like, available? Like,
I think it's only in other states. I think it's only that one.
Bro, I want that shit. It's only at ISU.
I really do.
Dude, that shit looks so good, and I'm not even that big on ice cream.
Yeah, me neither anymore. We're trying to eat healthy. I don't know what the fuck's going on, except for that Chinese food last night. we're not going to talk about that. But a big guy, AJ Ferrari, 92. This is to qualify for the World Team Tries. He plays top five of the U.S. Open. Who are two guys we can assume that are going to place above him at 92? Jaden Cox and Colin Moore. I think Colin Moore is the only one defined guy there, right? I think we can assume that the U.S. Open is going to have Greco too, right? You know, I think we're going to assume that Amos may shift his focus towards Greco. You know, granted, he got handled against Hancock, but we see this happen a lot. Kuhn got handled against Robbie Smith in 2016, the trial finals, right? In 2018, he comes back to pin him. So, you know, I'm not going to say it's impossible just because he's so young. But again, you know, I made a bad call with that one. I was bold. But, you know, it is what it is. I think Ferrari, I don't think he's on the level of Colin Moore, Jaden Cox yet. But no, I do think he's going to brawl and staying with them for a little bit. You know, I do think they might just tech him, though. Just based off pure ability. I don't think anybody can break him.
By Colin.
Dude, like I know people are saying that, but Colin, you people forget how good Colin Moore actually is.
Colin Moore's really buddy.
He will be up there with Kyle Snyder and Jaden Cox in the next 2 years.
Yeah, I just don't think that I don't think he's untouchable on the feet, and AJ Ferrari is definitely
You have to realize he's gonna stand there and brawl with AJ Ferrari. You're saying like that 665 deadlift. Colin Moore definitely lifts around 600 too. Colin Moore's a strong motherfucker. Have you seen the Coach Myers, his lifting things? He has guys like 150 benching like 255 and shit.
Yeah.
Like I'm fucking gigantic and I'm barely benching more than 3 plates.
Yeah.
You know, obviously my deadlift isn't all that fucking garbage. But you know, I think that's doing Colin Moore's wonders. Colin Moore wonders. Right? People forget what he actually accomplished. He will stand there with the best and he will finish you. Like, did you remember what he did to Braxton Amos? You know, I think the only thing holding back AJ Ferrari from being a 5-timer is Braxton Amos. I think he's going to progress past everybody in that weight class. I think Amos is the one guy. Like, a guy who didn't give up. You know, I don't think there's a debate about that. I think unless Michael Beard, you know, that's again the guy. Don't count out Kel Sanderson.
Yep.
We learned that every year, but every year they still do it.
Yeah.
You know, even I was starting to have doubts about nationals after how we performed at Big Tens, but lo and behold, you know, 4 national champs, 4-for-4 against Iowa. You know, I think the only good thing is I think Nick Lee and Curtis Rocha both going to start progressing a little bit more past Kemmerer and Ironman just because, you know, that's what I've seen. I don't think Ironman's gotten that much better over the years. I think he's just became bigger, stronger, and tougher and shit. So that's really it. Kemmerer's fucking grown-ass man. Starachi wrestled Bo Nickel to a 6-1 match. Starachi's a 79.
Yeah, I was surprised, to be honest.
Someone talking to you?
No, it's family on the friggin' Amazon Echo.
Oh, you're good. Yeah, like, I think we got to walk into heavyweight. Obviously, this is heavyweight nation. So, who's, you know, I'll stand on this. I think Don Bradley or Nick Wazdowski is going to win it. I don't think it's a bad take. I think Dom was robbed, and I think he would have beat Nelson in the third, fourth match. And he's a terrible style matchup for Kirk Fleet, you know? I think Kirk Fleet's been progressing so much, dude. It sounds like I'm sucking Penn State's dick, but he's been progressing so much. He went from getting majored by Mason Paris to less than a month later beating him. You know, and you have to realize it being freestyle rules made no difference in that match except for criteria. They still put up two takedowns.
Right.
Yeah, like I talked about him threw away the match. Everybody said, oh, I'm biased. You know, it fell through. So I'm happy about that. But I think Paris is not a guy to be slept on to here. You know, he won senior nationals last year. I do think if Kirk wins, this is a sign that, you know, I think if Gable's going to pass the torch, he's going to want to pass it to Kirk Flitt. Right. After he leaves, right. I think – you know, they're friends. They've wrestled together all their high school. They almost wrestled in Minnesota together. I think if he wants to pass it off to him or anybody, you know, Gwizdowski's probably second option.
Right.
And, you know, that's how I feel about it, you know. And we could see passing of the torch in Greco, too, coming 2022.
Right.
Schultz, Kuhn, you know, it was never a matter of when Schultz would get there. It was never a matter of if Schultz would get there. It was a matter of when he would get there. And judging by last match, he's almost there. You know, people will forget he almost pinned Yadin Kuhn in that match. Granted, I think that could be stopped very easily with a little bit of technical adjustments from Adam Kuhn, but Schultz has made very good adjustments, you know, in the first match, second match. First match, he always seems to get dominated. Second match, he does very well. So that's really my take on that. What are other weight classes you really look at? You know, 57, I think this is a good chance for Dane Fix to avenge his loss. I know we've been extremely high on him, but he's never really pull through when it matters. You know, I think he's bound to do it eventually, and he's going to get back on track soon enough.
Yes.
You know, and if we see this veto at Nationals, you know, he probably will just beat Spencer Lee at that point. You know, we all see him so unbeatable, but we haven't seen him against good competition in so long.
That's true.
You know, who do you wrestle sophomore in the National Finals? Jack Mueller. No disrespect. But who is Jack Mueller right now? Where is he?
Right now, assistant coaching.
Exactly.
At Virginia.
Yeah. Where's Nick Soriano right now at that weight class? Where's Darian Cruz right now? Still wrestling on the senior level, right? Yeah. Who else would be in that weight class? Ethan Lezak. You know, that's a whole ass national finalist.
Lezak is at 65.
I was talking about at 125 that year.
At that year, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's, you know, obviously Lezak is probably one of the luckier national finalist. He's one of my favorite wrestlers, but
yeah.
And they got to be completely honest there. You know, his top ride, you know, put him back in that game. If he survives the first period, put him on top against Spencer Lee, that match could just be over. Like, there's no, yes. You can't sleep on the dude out there, but I think his time has come and gone, you know. I do think Vito's going to give him a solid run for his money, you know. Glory 2 is coming back. Those two guys, you know, anybody with a brain is going to say they're miles ahead of Brandon Courtney. Yeah. You know, get respect. I give credit where that's due. He put a good fucking fight against Spencer Lee, but, you know, that is what it is. He kind of got outmatched there.
Yep.
You know, and you have to assume if Howard doesn't get kicked in the face or run into Patrick McKee, which isn't talked about enough, how this dude lost in, like, the first round and wrestled back to third.
Yeah.
If he doesn't run into that guy, he's an All-American, you know? I don't think he beats Spencer Lee, you know? Again, KO has pulled so many crazy things that I would not be surprised. Every guy who's about to be a four-timer, it always ends up going wrong, 99% of the time. Whether that be Zane losing in the semis as a freshman, Bo losing in the finals as a freshman, Nolf losing in the finals as a freshman, Ed losing in the semis as a freshman, Jaden Cox losing in the semis as a sophomore, Kyle's not getting pinned in the finals. It happens, right?
Yes.
And you see it so often, you know. I don't want to say any happens. I think it would be cool as hell, but is that a legit four-timer at the end of the day? Probably not. You know, it's all going to come down to how people view it, you know. I think it's whatever, you know. I'm not against it. I think out of a wrestler's perspective, if you get given an extra year, given an opportunity, why would you not take it? And that's what people on the outside don't understand. Yeah. You know, I think I know everyone wants to be like, oh, Kemmerer's 27. Like, if I was in Kemmerer's shoes, I would take him that extra year. I'll take it any day, like, no matter how good I was.
Yeah.
You know, that's really that, you know. Like, even as a Penn State fan, I'm not mad about them taking it. I would have done the exact same thing.
Yeah.
Right, like, but the thing is, who's Penn State returning? Really, nobody. That wouldn't be coming back anyways.
Yeah.
I don't think so. But, yeah, I think we can – you know, let's run through our actual lineup. Like, who do you have at winning 57 at the U.S. Open right now? You know, I think the
safe winning 57?
I think the safe bet is Vito over Fix right now, I think, as far as I've seen. Or I'm assuming Siriano is going to move to 61. I have to assume that. And I have to assume Fix is going to move to 61 too. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if all the move to 61, and that's so, like, gray area right now that you don't know what to say. Right, that's the thing.
I think it's like, 57, yeah, I mean, Vito's a pretty solid pick.
Yeah, I think Siriano fits him perfectly into 61. He's maybe – I don't even think he's undersized for 65, to be completely honest.
Yeah.
I think very well also 65. I just – dang. Siriano's not a guy who suffers from cutting any amounts of weight. I wouldn't be surprised if that dude cuts down to 106 right now and fucking wrestles fine. But, you know, he's looking great. You know, I think you know, obviously, the most mentally tough guy out there. We've seen all his videos and everything. He'll make it happen when it matters, and I think this is a chance for himself. He's already beaten Joe Colon. He just needs to beat Nashawn Garrett. We haven't seen Nashawn Garrett at 61 in a while, and if you watch that third match against Joe Colon, you know, that was something special. You know, the only thing about Nashawn is it takes him a couple matches to get into it. You know, I think if Nashawn gets the easy path to the finals and he meets Siriano there, most likely Nashawn's to lose. Or he can get knocked out first round. Wouldn't be surprised. Because Joe Colon has to wrestle out there too. You know, would Seth Gross be a 61 guy? I think this is all going to be worked out earlier because, you know, I could see everybody going 61 or everybody just saying 57, right? But I do – I think if it works out the way I think it will, I have Vito Arujo coming out on top of 57. You know, what does that do for him? Really nothing, but, you know – 61.
I think 61.
My money has been Siriano right now, but I'm a huge fan of Nashawn Garrett. Always have been. And Joe Colon too. Not a guy to be counted out. So my money's going to be on Siriano at this point, or Dayton Fix. What do you think about this?
I think Garrett could beat Siriano on a good day. If he has
I think Garrett can beat anybody in the world on a good day. He just needs to have those more and more.
Yeah.
No. 65 kilos. Zane, Joey McKenna, Jan Diakmalis, Nick Lee. I think James Green is done to 70. That dude's that's way too much of a cut. You know, I will still say this. I think that Nick Lee is beating everybody in this bracket. You know, I'm gonna just say Yanni. No, I think McKenna's a safe bet right now.
Yeah.
I think I have to rock with hype on this one. You know, I feel good about it. I didn't feel good about it with Yanni against Zane. It didn't come true. I feel good about it. I think Nick Lee is just starting to reach his full potential, and that's going to be crazy. You know, obviously not wanting to wrestle is an excuse to getting almost teched, right, on Yanni and Zane's part. But, you know, Zane, you would think it's more about just pride. You know, this is a guy who wants to take your spot. And he kind of just got handled there. You know, that's not something I would expect, especially we've seen a guy like Zane Rutherford wrestle. He's one of the baddest motherfuckers out there. Like, that genuinely shocked me. I do think it's going to be a Joey McKenna pick for me. Obviously, with J.O. out.
I think Yanni figures it out.
You think Yanni figures it out? I think McKenna's starting to peak, starting to progress past them right now. I think Yanni's time was fun when it happened. It'll be back eventually, but I think Zane's kind of going to get dusted here. It depends on who they meet. You have to realize that too. We don't know seedings yet.
Yeah.
It's probably going to be Joey McKenna, one seed, Nick Lee, two seed, Zane, three seed, and Yanni, four. You know, that's huge, right? If you go 70 yes. kilos, I think there's an obvious guy we're going to look at, James Green.
Yeah.
No, you can run around.
James Green, and like comparatively easily, I mean, 70 is just his weight class.
Yeah, I think he's dominated for so long. He's not getting old. I think this is his time. I think that this is, I wouldn't say his time. He's been continued dominance right there. You know, yeah. I think he's going to continue that. No, I don't. Yeah, I don't know much about that. I do think he's going to continue that, though. No, 74 kilos. If he stays. Jordan Burroughs.
If he does, I just think he.
I think he will. I think Isaiah Martinez will too, because I know Imar thinks. You know how like does Imar really want to be the guy to take this away from Jordan Burroughs, and does he just go to 74? Like I know that shouldn't matter in this circumstance, but like, I feel like people started to hate Dake more now that he beat Burroughs.
That's just kind of ridiculous. I mean,
you know, I do see that, but like, it's just like a thought that like it has to be thought about. You know, I think it's crazy, but you know, obviously, I'd love to see the matchup. I think my money might just have to be on Isaiah Martinez if he's fully healthy right now.
Yeah.
But do I think Burroughs is going to let this up? If he does, this may be the point to hang up his shoes. You know, I don't think there's – yeah, no, that hurts saying that, but I don't think there's any true debate about that.
Yeah, that's gonna fucking blow whenever it happens.
But now we run 7 kills again, Carter Storace. Possibly Zahid Valencia?
I just don't think Zahid
– yeah, I don't know either, but this is like – we didn't think Seth Gross would make the cut to 57. He somehow did it.
I wonder if Seth Gross might perform just so much better if he fucking puts on some weight.
No, no. No, I genuinely don't
know. But then again, like, his frame benefits his style so much at 57.
Yeah, 100%. Benefits any weight class, you know, I think.
Yeah.
RBY has progressed so much past, though. He's progressing so fast. And he has, you know, things that genetics, work ethic, and longevity.
Yeah.
One of those will make you good. Two of them will make you great. All three of them will make you elite.
Yeah.
You know, name one guy on the Olympic team that doesn't have good genetics. You know, I know people want to say it doesn't matter, but to get to the highest of the highest level, you got to have something decent to work off of. And that's going to piss off a lot of coaches when I say that, but it's just a fact.
Yeah.
Like I've said it, technique beats strength to a point, you know. You can throw a fucking Thomas Gilman out there against a D3 heavyweight. He's most likely mopping the floor with him after he kicks him in the face. But, yeah. But have you, yeah, no. Like, I think there's a lot we want to talk about. You know, we get into 86 kilos. Whose weight class is this now?
Zahid.
Bo Nickel still.
Ah, fuck.
Right? Nate Jackson, 86.
Nate Jackson plans to go 92.
Yeah, no. Yeah, and no, I wouldn't doubt that. Max Dean, Miles Martin. Miles Martin has to be in the talk with those two. He lost to Gabe Dean by a point off criteria. Yeah. You know? Gabe Dean's a guy who has to be mentioned in there.
Yeah.
You know, that just goes to show a lot of things. Like who knows? Right? 92. Assuming Jaden Cox isn't there. Let's go 92. Colin Moore. I think that's pretty unanimous at this point. And I don't think Gadsden cuts to 92.
Definitely not.
Yeah. Gadsden's huge for 97 also.
Yes.
So I think Moore at 92 is a safe bet. 97 now. You know, I think this guy named Jaden Cox may be pretty good. So we'll take him.
Yes.
All right, next question.
Someone, for the love of God, make sure that he knows what the right time for weigh-ins is.
Yeah, you know, that's, you know what that pisses me off is, like, if it was Nathan Tomasello, who would have cared?
Yeah.
You know, that's what pisses me off. You know, it, like, people want to make it come down to what it's not about. But, you know,
he missed weight. I don't view it as, like, a it takes me off. I just think – I think the reason people are so angry is because That was going to be a consensus number one and number two, because
we don't know that.
Because, like, you know, you want to say, like, oh, what if, like, a big upset happened and someone beat Jaden Cox, which is never completely out of the question, just because, you know, wrestling's wrestling.
Yeah, I think he would have to start off Russell Machiavelli, Russell Moore, then Russell Snyder. They wouldn't take 2 days. They wouldn't take 2 days to hold this thing. He would have to wrestle four matches in one day.
Special wrestle off where Jaden Cox gets to basically get a bye to the finals, right?
What are you calling Mike Machiavelli there for? Are you going to re-wrestle the consolation bracket too? Are you going to take out? Are you going to strip Colin Moore, and Kevin Gadsden's Team USA sponsorship there?
Yeah.
You know, I think that's cool and all, but I just don't agree with it. You know, I think after he wrestles Machiavelli, Moore is a solid shot as an upset. After that, having to take something out of Jaden Cox, Snyder probably finishes him off there. You know, when he's healthy, I think it's a toss-up. It always has been. It always will be, you know. Jaden Cox has looked like a beast in 92. I was even on the hype train for a little bit. He was exactly what I thought he would be at 97 kilos. Exact same as Snyder. Yeah. No, that's really the way I view it. I do think Jaden Cox is winning 97, though, at the U.S. Open. That's cool and all. We'll hop into 125. Yeah. Gwiz,
maybe Paris, maybe Kurt Bradley. Fleet. Has Bradley beaten Gwiz in the past?
Bradley's tech Gwiz in the past.
Bradley,
Gwiz, Paris, Kurt Fleet, Tommy Nelson. All these matches are separated by like 1 or 2 points generally. I know Gwiz was peaking that day. You know, you have to assume he was going to do that because he's just so smart and wrestling. Yeah. It just wasn't enough against Gable, you know. But he did score a takedown on Gable, which only two guys have done this entire year, Kirk Fleet and him.
Yeah.
And then Kirk Fleet versus Gwiz is going to be a great match for Kirk Fleet, Kirk Fleet versus Paris. If Kirk Fleet can avoid Bradley or Nelson, he can win.
Yes.
I think Gwiz is maybe too technically good for him, but we don't know until we find out. I think if Bradley gets Nelson and Gwiz, that's going to be his thing. Tony Nelson wants Don Bradley and Gwiz, right? Yes. Tony Nelson is a good match against Kirk Fleet, so is Don Bradley. Mason Paris, I don't think it matters anyways. I do think Mason Paris is going to want to stay away from Don Bradley or Kurt Fleet. You know, if he didn't catch that lucky cement mixer lat drop on Don Bradley, he would have lost that match. You know, people show that throw, but don't show that Don Bradley blast doubled him to his back for four right after. And you never know. If Don Bradley wins this tournament, those shoes could go out in the center of the mat. He's like, what, 33 now? He's just as old as Burroughs, if not older.
Right.
No, I don't know about that. He's probably just old. Maybe he took redshirts. I don't know. But, yeah, no, I think Gwizdowski's the right bet for that one. Yeah. I want Don Bradley to win so bad, I'll be completely honest. But, yeah, no, I think that's pretty much it right now. Who do you have?
125.
Yeah.
I mean, safe pick would be Gwiz. I mean, Paris does have a.
I think they're all. I don't think any of them are safe picks. That's what I'm saying. Kirby has been progressing so much tournament to tournament. I wouldn't count out. Paris has beaten everybody in that bracket.
I want to say Kirk.
I do too.
I just have a sneaking suspicion that by the time the U.S. Open comes around, Kirk might just be that much healthier.
Yeah. He's getting in on shots on everybody. It came down to Nelson being bigger and stronger. Nelson's looking fantastic for what, like 29, 30 he is right now?
Yeah.
He's looking fantastic. But genuinely, I do want Kirk to win. I'm for Dom to win, but I think my pick is going to be Gwiz right now. No, you know, fuck it. My pick is Kirk Fleet. Not changing that. I made the mistake at the Olympic Trials. This is going to be my pick. That's pretty much it for this episode, right?
Yep.
So, all right, guys, thank you for listening or watching the Late Night Shots podcast. If you enjoyed, if you're watching this on YouTube, smash the like button, give us a sub. We're going to be doing a giveaway at 1,000 followers. Don't have that much money, probably give away a hoodie or something, you know. Just something to express my gratitude. But thank you guys for watching. We'll see you guys again next time.
All right, peace.